good afternoon, everyone. Today, this laboratory notebooks is the last session for today. I'm Becca, obviously. So today, I'm just going to kind of tell you a little of what is a lab notebook, what to include in your lab notebook, how to maintain a good lab notebook, and then some entry examples into your lab notebook for your experiments. So a lab notebook is your primary record of research. You should have some type of background information for your experiment, your methods that you use, the date. You always record the date when you did things, and your interpretations of your results. A good key that I always like to use is to include enough information in your research notebook that if you come back or someone else comes back 6 months to a year later, you're able to reproduce your results that you got. So that's just how I kind of keep my lab notebooks in order. So what I like to do for my lab notebooks is the first thing is a table of contents. It's just an easy way of finding all of your projects, all your experiments. My particular lab notebook that I have for my lab actually has a pre-made table of contents that I just have to fill in the data or the titles. Some lab notebooks don't have a table of contents, and I know people that will end up just making their own table of contents, and that's how they get organized there. Every page has a title of a project or the experiment and the date. Then I always include experimental details. So this is your procedure, list of reagents used. Another important thing for your reagents is if it's something that you know you have to reorder, the possible, you can add like what you need to reorder, how to reorder it. List of instruments that you use. For example, I use NMR mainly for my research. So I'll just say like I use the 600 megahertz NMR. There's a lot of HPLCs in this building, so if you just say HPLC, which HPLC did you use? Which lab was it in? Just in case if something is wrong with your data and you go back and other people had problems with that particular instrument and you know which one it was, and you know that those results that you got were wrong. Also, another key is what water did you use? Did you use tap water, millicule water, DI water? So just make sure like you include a lot of details so it is easier to reproduce. Your printouts of your data, if you see a color change that you think is important, take pictures, and you can put those in your lab notebooks by pasting them there. Any gels that you use, graphs that you produce, figures, your spectra, anything that supports your results, put that in your notebook so then when people follow along, they know what to expect, what to see. Protocols in your calculations. If it's a calculation, and I'll show you a couple of calculations later in the slides, but if it's a calculation that you think is basic, go ahead and just do one example. That way people know, like, okay, they're not pulling this number out of thin air. They know how to do the calculations. And the conclusions. Did your experiment work? Did it not? How to fix things? Something similar to that. So the next big thing about keeping a notebook is maintaining it and ethics. So all data that you do goes into your lab notebook. Even if it's good or bad results, or if it's failed or contradicts what you thought. So this was kind of last minute, so I'm really sorry that this is bad, but here's a table from one of my notebooks, and I was doing an experiment with different percentages of biochar in a mixture. And you can see how this one right here is kind of different, but it's still in my notebook that we did it. That I did it, and this is what I got, even though it doesn't match with the rest. None of your pages need to come out of your notebook. Even if you you make mistakes or you spill stuff on your pages. I am known for spilling things on paper. It's just, I don't know, just what I do. So if it's there, don't worry about it. Just keep it in your notebook. Don't skip pages. Make sure that you go all of our, at least in my notebook, all the pages are already numbered. So just keep it in chronological order. Then don't, and then cross out any unused parts of your pages. So if you have empty spaces left on your page and you don't use it, just go ahead and like cross it and initial it. That way if people do go back and look at your notebook, they know like you didn't intentionally left this blank and you can't fit any other data in there. This last part, the cross out any unused parts, they really look at that if you go into industry. Like they want to make sure that you're keeping your notebook as authentic as possible. And then correct any mistakes you have. The next slide I'll show you different ways or the correct way of correcting your mistakes and making sure that it's honesty in your notebook, it's very essential. So here is the bad way of correcting your mistake and then the correct way. So the bad way is you scribble it out where you can't read it anymore and then you write down what you actually read. The correct way, you do a single line, and then I was taught to always initial and date when you do this, and this just kind of helps keep everything valid and authentic in your notebook. So just date and initial it, and then just rewrite what I actually read or observed. So when you're recording your data, everything goes directly in your notebook. All your scrap, like calculations, anything that you can think of, just put it in your notebook. I'm really known for having scrap papers and writing everything down, which is really bad. But just make sure everything goes in your notebook. Do blue or black ink. And make sure you choose a pen that does not bleed to different solvents. The next slide, I will actually show you a test that I found with different pens and the solvents. Make sure that your entries are only in the ruled areas of the numbered pages. So don't write outside of that. Try to keep it within the page. Unnumbered pages, don't use those. I guess you could use them for like a table of contents if you need to make one. And then just remember to attach all of your supporting data that you need, show references. References, your gels, your calculations, just make sure all of that goes into your notebook. And here's a pen test I actually found online done by Colin Purrington. And so what they did was they got all these pens and they did a control test. They tried erasing them, which between them there really wasn't a difference. They tested them with water, so they cut these in strips, as you can tell, and they would just do like, they would stick it into a beaker and then let the solvents dissolve. So you have water in this column, methanol, ethanol, acetone, and then they baked the pen. I don't know why. I guess maybe if you write on the paper.
The
write-up. So this strip right here, they put it in the oven and baked it. So as you can tell, a couple of these pens aren't the best for the different solvents. So if you mainly use water, other than maybe this one, all the others are pretty good. But once you get outside of to like methanol, ethanol, acetone, that's kind of when you need to, if I spill this, is this going to mess up my my ink? Are we still going to be able to read what I write? And so some of these also bled as well, and these are the Sharpie pens, which are usually the problematic ones.
So the Pilot G2 actually didn't do that good.
That's like the go-to pen.
Yes.
My favorite.
Yes. This one, it's kind of a struggle. I also kind of know with Pilot G2s, like, they smear. So, you might want to try a smear test, too. But, yeah, so here's a nice little example of pens, what to use and not to use in the labs. So if you're going to be looking up references or journals, here's a good way of to enter this into your notebook, where you have your first author, the year, the journal, the volume, and the page number. And it's a good practice to put down some information about this journal into your notebook and how this relates to your project that you're working on. Unfortunately, I did not look this paper up, so I don't really know what it's about. But some of the papers that I have, the whole procedure is pretty much based off of what I'm doing. So put down concentrations of your solutions or any constants that you find from this paper that you need. Go ahead and put that in with this reference so you can easily access it. Calculations. I know these are pretty basic calculations here, but if we're making 100 milliliters of 200 millimolar NaCl, just kind of show the calculations at least once in your notebook and how you figured out that this was only 1.17 grams. And then if you make this again and it's, I don't know, a couple hundred pages later, you can just go ahead, like, you can see the calculations shown on page 5. Just so you can reference back to things, it's okay. So just simple calculations, just kind of show that. Then here's another one where we have the C1, V1 equals C2, V2, and how we solved that. And so, once again, it's very simple, but just so the people that come and look at your notebook later and you're not here to answer questions, they know how you figured this out. Another big important thing is knowing who owns your notebook. It's your notebook that you write your experiments in, and your results, but it's actually your advisor and the university that owns your notebooks. So that means your notebooks stay in the lab. You can take pictures if you need to know what you're working with. You can take pictures, photocopies of them, and have them easy access at home if you're making a PowerPoint slide on your presentation to give updates on. But your notebook should be in the lab where it's easy access for anyone that needs it. Because you might be making a solution that everyone in your lab uses. Well, you have you should have all the stuff how you made it in your notebook. And so they can go back and look how you made it and remake it if they need to. When you are entering your data, your results, your spectra into your notebook, here is an example of a complex data, but there's nothing else about this that I know about this. So you can have a printout, but also put in like what you're looking at. What spectra is this? I know this is like an HSQC or NOSI, but it's just kind of like, what protein are we looking at? So just kind of make sure you have some information that other people know what you're looking at and how they can reference this. And it's also kind of, I think it would be kind of key to be like, here, like they overlaid here, but it was different here. Just kind of talk about how some of the spectra is different or how they're the same and draw your conclusions from that. Here is another example of data entered into your notebook. We have the FPLC and the spectra here, and then here we talked about what it is, the file name it's stored as, and then talked about some of the fractions collected. And so I think this is a better depiction of how to put spectra into your notebook, unlike this one where you just have this. Other people, if you look at this, y'all probably looking at this and like, what is this? So this way if you have some detail of what it is, it would be a little bit better. So the question for today is, in what ways do you benefit by keeping a good lab notebook? In what ways do others benefit? Do you have a thought?
If you get audited, it would suck to not have a lab notebook.
Yep. Anything else?
If you're working on a project and you like graduate or whatever and somebody wants to work off your project and they can reuse your lab notebook, but if you suck and didn't put your crap in, they can't really follow off of your project.
Yep. Both of those are good. So just to recap on how to keep a good lab notebook, just know what you did and keep good record of what you did, and it will be in one place. So when people do come back to your experiments, they can easily find it. And it does keep keep members involved, whether you're here or gone. What could be bad is you could be called, like you could say, fraud. It also shows that you don't have a good professional work ethic by not keeping a good lab notebook. And then evidence for patent lawyers. So if you don't have a good lab notebook, then if you get a patent, the lawyers can come back and try to look at your notebook. And if it's not well kept, then you could possibly be sued, and it just becomes into huge fines. So this is why I always encourage to write more in your notebook. Then if you don't need it, that's fine. It's just in your notebook. Someone just told me today that it's also important that you take pride in your notebook, because it is yours, but your advisor, the university, owns it. And so you want to put your best work forward, and other people will look at that. Thank you. Are there any questions?